Durant. Oh! A jawbreaker!
Curry with a drive. Blocked by Jackson.
Bane, step back three. Bingo!
Hello, Grizzly fans. Welcome to the latest edition of the Core 4, one of the featured podcasts here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. We are taping this show Wednesday evening, January 10th, 2024, one day after learning the stunning news that Ja Morant will now miss the rest of this season due to a shoulder injury. And also one day after we completed an inspiring, exciting road trip with three wins over Western Conference rivals. Bittersweet for sure, given the news on Morant. We'll break it all down on some of our regular Core 4 segments, Embrace Debate, Xavier's X's and O's, and we'll hand out some hardware with our first edition of the Core 4 trophy case here in 2024. And then we'll close with a final word. My name is David Buckler, and today I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Xavier Dotson. How you doing, bud?
Man, I'm doing fine, Dave. Obviously, it was some bummer news hearing that Ja Morant is out for the rest of the season. But us coming on a road trip, winning, going 3-0, beating the Suns, beating the Lakers, I was so excited with us beating the Lakers. That felt great. And then a shocking win yesterday after the Grizzlies confirming the news that Ja Morant being out and dismantling the Mavericks. And the Mavs had Kyrie and Luka Doncic. That lets me know that the Grizzlies are ready to do that step-up mentality that they've been preaching and Taylor Jenkins has been coaching in the past 2 years. Next man up mentality, whether Ja Morant is going to be there or not. Obviously, everybody has their own opinion on what the Grizzlies should do for the future now knowing that Ja Morant is out. But obviously I'm happy that the Grizzlies can be 3-0 this past week.
We have had a real roller coaster ride the last couple weeks together, right? I mean, Ja comes back, we won 4 in a row, and then we went through a bumpy period. And then, like you said, what an exciting win over the Lakers, only to wake up. And it was weird he didn't play against Phoenix or what's going on with the shoulder injury. I tell you, the win over the Mavericks, I thought it was one of my favorite games of the year to watch. It was kind of an exciting game. And yeah. I really enjoyed, we'll get more into this later, with the Xavier's X's and O's on how they played. I felt differently than they have played in other games in the past. And I thought that it was an exciting game to see some of the younger kids step up. Bane was amazing. But again, we'll get to that a little bit later because there's some real X and O breakdowns there on how they're going to look going forward without Ja Morant. And let's jump right in to our first segment. So today on our first segment, Embrace Debate, we're going to talk about the impact knowing now that Ja Morant is out for the year. It certainly will have a profound influence on our season and this roster at large. Xavier, who does this impact the most in terms of actually being on the team?
You know, losing Ja Morant, he's a guy that amplifies every teammate. You know, guys want to play next to him. He makes guys better, role players better. You say a specific person, if I had to choose somebody, it would be Zaire Williams. Hmm. Those 8-9 games that Ja did play, you could see the fast break and the ball being pushed up the court a lot quicker. And Zaire, his type of game style translates well next to Ja Morant. He was finding Zaire for lobs. He was creating opportunities and easy shots for Zaire. And now since that Ja is gone, Zaire did have a good game yesterday. I would admit that. But I'm not going to say it's troubling, but at the same time, knowing that his sort of partner in crime is out for the rest of the season, where can Zaire excel at? Can he create shots on his own? Will he be able to still be involved in this offense? Can he become a steady defender, knowing that he's 6'8", 6'9", with such a long wingspan? What value can you bring now that you know that Ja Morant is not going to be there for the rest of the season? And then as well, I really wanted to see a chance of watching Derrick Rose and Ja Morant on the court together, man. That was sort of basically, you know, big brother, little brother. At one point, you know, the similarities between the players of Ja Morant and Derrick Rose. Obviously, you know, Rose, he's been pretty much hit with the injury bug this season. But, man, I just wanted to see that for one time, you know, like nostalgic reasons, seeing Ja Morant catch a lob from Derrick Rose. Man, that would have been great.
I have to tell you, I mean, I've been watching sports a long time. It doesn't usually work out this clean that a guy comes back from a behavioral issue or behavioral problem and then, you know, leads the team to the championship. Or I just had a feeling, if you remember back before the season started, we did over-unders on how many games we thought Ja would actually play. I didn't at the time think, Xavier, that he was going to play the majority of the games that he was going to be eligible for because of getting back into the team, into the groove. And I didn't know if his health would hold up. He hadn't played competitive basketball in a long time. Now, this is severe, missing the rest of the season. But I did think that we would be fortunate to get 40 to 45 games from him. And really, you know, it's a shame, too, because they were playing pretty well with him in the lineup. And this is going to impact a lot of decision-making going forward. And there's a lot of ways to look at this. One way is, thank God this didn't happen in April. Like, if this would have happened, like, in the play-in tournament, and then he has to spend the whole summer having shoulder surgery rehabilitation, if there's a silver lining, it's that it happens now. He can get the surgery. And the team also, the word I wrote down is, the rest of the season to me is really research. Because you're exactly right about Zaire. He's going to get a lot of playing time now. David Roddy's going to get a lot of playing time now. Even, you know, Conchar is going to get a lot of playing time now. I mean, to me, you're going into training camp next year. No excuses about any of these guys. Now, you know, we're going to get a lot of run from all these guys. I wouldn't even mind if Gigi Jackson got some playing time. If you're with the understanding that it's probably not going to happen, the Grizzlies are going to make the play-in tournament. If you think the season's over, there's a lot of research that you can now see in game situations how these young kids are going to perform. I didn't want to mention one thing, though. That was a nice win over the Mavericks last night. Now, Dallas was perfect for us, Xavier, because they're small. They don't play a lot of defense.
Yeah.
I think this roster is going to struggle against teams that play bigger, like a Minnesota, and that play a little tougher defense. Because we saw, again, there's a lot of X's and O's to cover tonight. But I did want to say, Jaren didn't play, Clark didn't play, and Smart, it was kind of a weird injury when he dislocated it. By the way, how many times have you dislocated your finger playing basketball? Have you had a few of those?
I've never had a finger dislocated.
Okay, well, you're lucky then, because it's a common injury. But the point is, if those guys come back and the front office makes a little tweak here, you know, we could still be a pretty good basketball team, especially if Marcus Smart plays the way he's shown the last week or so.
Yes, I will say this. For those little nine games that Ja Morant did play, I think he lit an ignition into this basketball team, in which we've seen in the past years with the Grizzlies. Ja Morant is a special talent. Guys want to play around him, and they want to sustain a high level of play. It's not like now that Ja, he's done his 25 games. He is the type of guy, he's going to be on the bench every single night, and he's going to be basically a coach. I guarantee you he's lighting some type of fire in speech and motivating these guys on the bench. You talked about earlier in podcast, you've been questioning if Jaren Jackson, is he actually an all-star? Well, that month of December, he played some great basketball stat-wise. And as well, right now in January, if you have Bane and Jaren playing at an all-star level, because truth be told, this will really designate if they are all-stars. If we can make the play-in tournament, if we do put us in a contention and sort of turn our season around and Smart continue to play at a high level, I'd go ahead and consider Bane and Jaren full-time all-star caliber players, because they are carrying a load now in which, knowing that their star point guard is out, they have to step up.
Yeah, no question. I agree with that. I thought this also was interesting on how this is going to affect Brandon Clark, because I don't know if he was going to come back late January. I think that's too soon. Maybe February, maybe March. But I think if we struggle over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and let's be fair, there's always an uptick. It's sort of like when you fire a coach, there's this excitement in the NFL, like for the next week, they play hard for the interim coach. I thought they were going to play hard against Dallas because they're motivated. But the reality of Ja's injury is going to kick in over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I think if Brandon Clark is a little slower in his medical progress, we might not see him at all this year. They may just put him on ice for the rest of the year. Does this impact Brandon Clark, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, obviously it falls on how the season is trajectory is going. They have to analyze the data that's being collected with these games carefully. you know, if the Grizzlies are in a losing trajectory, there's no reason to risk Brandon Clark to rush him out there and play basketball. Obviously, I felt like he really wanted to be out there to climb, help the Grizzlies climb the uphill battle. I'm pretty sure he does want to play right now if he could. But there's no reason if the Grizzlies are, you know, still the 12th, 11th seed in April and March. There's no reason for Clark to, you know, risk another injury.
I'm going to be fascinated to see if we package Luke Kennard, you know, Steven Adams, and then, you know, maybe Tillman or something. If Kleiman makes a move before the trade deadline, it's going to be a lot of research. Like I said, I really think that's what's going to happen here, to see if David Roddy is going to be on this team next year, to see really does Zaire Williams have a role in the future. And there were moments during the Dallas game, he looks pretty good and he looked inspired. And I liked that. But there's some moves to be made if Kleiman wants to make them, or is he going to punt to see where our draft pick lands in the lottery and, you know, to see what we have going into the next season? Because if he does nothing and just lets the team kind of play out the string here, it's sort of an indication that, you know, he doesn't truly think we have anything special in us without John Morant, and maybe we're better off keeping the assets and making moves in the summer. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about moves. He already made a move today, just an hour ago. Vince Williams was signed to a full-time contract, a four-year deal.
You know what? I'm sorry. I did not hear that. So what are the details there?
Yeah, so they signed Vince Williams to a full-time four-year contract with three years guaranteed, one, and then that fourth year is a team option. They cut Bismack Biyombo. So they brought Vince to the full-time. That opens a two-way contract for us. So, obviously, the Grizzlies are looking for another big that they can find in the two-way market. So, I think that there's a possibility of Kleiman and showing that he's probably going to be aggressive around the trade deadline. There's a lot of sellers throughout the NBA this season. So, I think the Kleiman might be able to scoop someone in. I personally, you know, for foreshadowing ahead, I don't see us having the first-round pick in the 2024 draft. There's no reason, you know, to continue to double down on youth when we saw with our youth that we have right now. Obviously, it's taking a little bit more time for them to truly become up to par of how we want them. So, Kleiman should be cautious about this. See what the data is telling us within the next 10 to 15 games. If the Grizzlies are in a above 500, you know, barely floating water, I guess you can go ahead and make a trade, but they're truly below 500. It's time to just go ahead and put the bubble wraps on around Jaren Jackson and Bane. Tank the season out, and then as well, you know, hopefully when you do get a high draft pick, you make a correct trade.
Wow, okay, so I had not heard that about Vince Williams, and it kind of affects my trophy case later because I had a comment about that. But that's great for him, and sometimes we forget that these are real people. This is an NBA 2K, and that young man should be very proud. I'm on record. I didn't think he had any business on an NBA roster, frankly. I saw him in the summer league. You know, I watched him on TV. I didn't think he was an NBA player. I was wrong. I'm proud of his effort, and I'm proud of what he's contributed to the Grizzlies, but he should be very excited. And I thought that Biyombo struggled a lot the last couple weeks doing what this team needed him to do. Maybe he'll be able to latch on to another team and be a backup big. I think Tillman, this is a big opportunity for him. We saw him play pretty well against Dallas, but I want to jump to Xavier's X's and O's. Okay, let's go to our second topic, Xavier's X's and O's, where we really get into the ins and outs of how the Memphis Grizzlies play basketball. And, you know, with John Morant now out for the season, the team is going to look different. Now, I know that they didn't play with him the first 25 games of the season, but you have that feeling he was coming back. And so Xavier, I'm going to give you a note here from the Dallas game. I thought they looked like a different ball club. I thought the pace was outstanding. I thought the ball movement was better. I thought the passing was well executed, and they got the ball out of the basket, up the court, and really utilized the entire roster. It was a wonderful team win. If there's one X and O note for today, I thought the double teaming on Bane made him give the ball up at the top of the key, and Biyombo was not able to execute, and really, you know, he's not very good in that situation. No one was worried about him as a scorer. So with the news that he's been cut, were you surprised by that?
I didn't see a permanent role for Biombo. He just was another guy that we needed desperately because we was without a big early in the season. You know, at those first few 10 games, I guess he was filling the role pretty well, you know, getting the rebounds, blocking shots. But as the season progressed, we saw his struggles, and offensively, he could not do anything. I've never seen a center with really bad hands as him, because every time a point guard would dump him the ball, he would bobble it or travel. So the Grizzlies really are dominant offensively when the ball is in the big's hand, if you really think about it. We look at Steven Adams of how he was able to generate offense between the offs, the slips, the cuts. He had a connection between him and Desmond Bane. So they like putting the ball in the center's hands and up near the free throw line, so they can do those smart cuts to the baskets and be able to do the easy handoffs. And we saw that yesterday with Xavier Tillman. He stepped up with a performance of 11 and 11, probably his best game of this season so far. He made some correct reads and correct cuts to the basket. And, you know, now, like we said, Biombo is now cut away from the team. That brings Tillman back to the starting lineup. I'm interested to see who they're going to acquire for their two-way position. A lot of people right now got mumbling about Kai Jones. You know, he's an interesting prospect that the Hornets did let go. Hyper athletic, he can shoot a mid-range. I think they do have to put somebody in that position that at least can rebound and put pressure on the defense, because a lot of the times our bigs, the opposing teams, they sag off our bigs.
That's exactly right. Yeah. When you say put pressure on the defense, because we saw with the double teams against Dallas, they got the ball out of Bane's hands. And when they got the ball to Biombo at the top three or top of the key, you're not worried about him like putting it on the floor. And even when he would find guys in the corner, it's a real opportunity for Roddy and Zaire to kind of grow their game. Because I thought at times they struggled finishing. And sometimes we got good looks, but there were some easy baskets and sort of like some cuts to the rim that I think they need to clean up. And maybe if the center that catches the ball at the top there is a little more of an offensive threat and puts the pressure on the defense, like you're saying, maybe it's a little bit a more space inside.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you put Jaren in the middle, teams have to guard up on Jaren because he can either take it to the basket or shoot a mid-range. He has a nice touch. But when you have a center that's basically a liability offensively, that opposing center is basically a free safety out there.
Well, I am a little surprised that they cut Biombo just in the fact that we're not a very big team to begin with. And as I mentioned, like Dallas was a good matchup for us last night. That was on a road game, and it's a really good win. But when they play bigger teams, you would hope that they're going to find somebody with a little bit of size. I like Tillman in the starting lineup, and I thought he played with a real intensity last night. And at times, Xavier, when he switched on defense, looked kind of capable, like on Kyrie and some of the smaller, faster guards that Dallas has. I really thought this was a good moment for him last night.
Yeah, Tillman, obviously he broadcast his flashes. You know, Tillman had a pretty good playoff run last year, filling the void for Steven Adams. And I thought highly on Tillman coming into this season. This is his contract year. You would think he will be playing his absolute best basketball right now so he can earn another a big payday. So now he has another opportunity. I know we're sort of near halfway at the halfway point of the season. He has another opportunity to broadcast and show what he's capable of doing. Make those correct reads, make his patented floater to the rim, and rebound. So it's some big, big minutes and a big opportunity for Xavier Tillman.
I don't know why. I just thought last night's game was the most fascinating game of the season. It was just really, really interesting to see the intensity of the team. I thought they were going to come out flat. Jaren wasn't playing. Ja's news is so deflating. And I was pretty excited about the intensity that Zaire Williams played with, that Tillman played with. And then Marcus Smart got injured, like celebrating a three-pointer. And it was kind of weird. And if you notice at the start of the fourth quarter, what was it like? We had six or seven turnovers in those first couple minutes. And I was a bit worried that lead was going to slip away. But from an X and O standpoint, what it did reinforce to me is the ball handling on this team is not great. And if John Morant's going to be out, Do you think that we have enough ball handling? I mean, would that be an area that Kleiman might go out and you know, if Rose is kind of battling injuries in and out of the lineup, I mean, who handles the ball in crunch time and settles it down? Do you know, is Smart going to miss any time?
I don't know about the full details on Smart of missing, you know, long term. He said yesterday what had happened, especially, you know, he's just celebrating, his finger went dislocated. He said it wasn't anything broken. So hopefully, you know, they just taped the finger up, put it back in place. But in regards of, you know, ball handling, I saw that yesterday. They were struggling in the fourth quarter to bring the ball up the court. There's the lack of the point guard, knowing that Rose is sort of basically in and out the lineup due to his injury history. And Smart isn't necessarily a true point guard as well. Bane can do it, but you don't want Bane to operate as a ball handler the whole entire night. That just puts an extra load on him. I was thinking the same thing. Maybe they go out there and get another point guard. They had somebody in a G League on the hustle, Jason Preston, that was actually a pretty decent point guard, but he just got signed up to a two-way with the Utah, just snatched him up. So I think that they might find somebody in a free market opportunity for that, because they did receive a player exception position due to the fact Ja Morant is going to be out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and it has to be someone, in my opinion, with some experience. I don't necessarily want a G League guy, just in general, because I thought, you know, those moments last night that got a little tense in the fourth quarter, it's going to get even more tense against better competition. And especially, like, if Memphis keeps winning, and I looked at the schedule, we have a little bit of a soft part of our schedule coming up. We have winnable games over the next month. And let's say we kind of go on a little bit of a roll here. You know, the intensity, now it's not just, well, the season's over because Ja Morant's out. Now it's, I don't know, some other teams are slipping. We might have a chance to at least, you know, get into the play-in. And I worry a little bit about those key moments when the other team's making a run, our lead slipping away a little bit. And I want a guy that's sort of been through the wars a little bit. And there are those kind of backup point guards around the league. I'm very curious, because I thought that was a real concern last night. Once Smart got hurt, the team looked a little bit out of sync. And thank goodness we had a big lead. And by the way, I loved the confidence with the three-point shooting last night. I kind of felt like, and the percentages were good, but even more than that, it was – Contrar got the ball and shot the ball. Zaire Williams got the ball and shot the ball. Roddy got the ball in the corner, a beautiful three. I mean, we've got to be able to hit those, keep the defense honest. And I thought the team looked a little more fluid on offense. I mean, I love Ja Morant, of course. But there was a nice fluidity at times with the ball moving and the ball going up.
Yeah, we talk about how the modern offense is, how it's so focused around the three-point line. Marcus Smart has been on an absolute burner lately, shooting behind the three-point line. So I hope that this streak continues to roll, because the Grizzlies has always been a terrible three-point shooter team. And now we're making threes. It's shocking, to be honest, that we're making this many amount of threes.
Yeah, it's super shocking. So we had almost 100 points going into the fourth quarter, which was the most of the year. And you'd think this was the game we would score like 60 points the whole game. So that's why, that's the beauty of sports, right, is that we never know. And they came out and they played a wonderful game. I mean, you know, going into Tuesday night, we were averaging under 107 points a game and one of the worst offenses in basketball. We'll see. 120 against Dallas. I think they were a good matchup for us. And going forward, we have the three home games coming up, Clippers, Knicks, and then the MLK Junior game on Monday against Golden State. Is there a chance the coaching staff was sort of preparing for this, that, you know, we may be without Ja? I mean, 25 games worth at least. So do you think that there was some preparation, that they're at least not caught completely off guard by this news?
They've been without Ja in the past, I wouldn't say numerous times, but it's happened in multiple occasions. So therefore, it shouldn't be a change of strategy. You know, you got Ja Morant back on the bench. I think that's a big boost for the guys, actually seeing him on the bench. And, you know, he's in the locker room with the presence, rolling with them on road trips. So they don't want to let Ja down. Ja Morant knows he wants to be out there if he could be out there. So they're playing in spirits of him. So I think the coaching staff understands what needs to be done when Ja Morant isn't there and what strategies that they should run when he is there in the lineup.
Hey, by the way, before we go to the next segment, did you watch any of the Raptors-Lakers game?
Oh, yeah. Darko had some words to say after that game.
And here we are pulling for the Lakers to lose. And that game was tight, nip and tuck all the way through. And Toronto gave it a great effort. But what a shame that the Lakers ended up winning by 1 point there. Let's go to our final segment for this episode of the Core 4 podcast. We're going to give out some hardware. It's our trophy case segment, the first one of 2024. And Xavier, I'll start with you. What do you have?
So I got one with the Grizzlies. We're talking about Vince Williams. I'm going to call it the Young Dolph Award. Get paid, young hitter, get paid. Like you was talking about earlier, Vince Williams, you know, he remained a professional, was down there in the G League. Vince Williams signs a full-time contract. He's more than deserving of it, man. He worked hard. He was stashed away in the G League. A lot of people thought he really wasn't should belong on this team. And now he's worked his butt off. He's probably one of our better defenders, perimeter defenders on the team.
What is the name of the award again?
Young Dolph, get paid. Young hitter, get paid. It's a song by Young Dolph, Get Paid, called Get Paid. And, you know, Vince signed an $8 million contract. I'm glad that the Grizzlies locked ties with him because he's such a hardworking guy. I'm happy that he's a part of this team full time. I think he has a shot to be the starting wing going forward for this Grizzlies. I think this is a great long-term value for him, for Mr. Vince Williams Jr.
Nice height and length, right? I mean, you can't teach size, right, as we always say, but he looks good out there, especially messing it up under the basket, not afraid to get his nose a little dirty under there. I'm shocked, and I'm super happy for him. That's a good contract for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I know. It could be a turnout to be a great value contract.
And so that's going to take away one of my awards. I gave away the speed limit award to Kenny Lofton last year because I was like, let's just slow down a little bit. You know, don't go 65 and a 55 because people were in love with Kenny Lofton. And you know, I felt there were some similarities, frankly, in their situations where they played well for a week or two and people wanted them to be promoted to the main roster. But I'd love these kind of sports stories where someone overcomes. And I did not think he was an NBA player, and I'm happy to be wrong about him. He seems like a great guy. And sometimes, Xavier, in the voids, right, that a player like Ja Morant creates, someone else steps up, and it changes their career.
Yeah.
So great for him. My one other award that I wanted to give out, this is the Dairy Queen Award. And this is going to the NBA, the entire NBA, because, man, there is a lot of vanilla soft serve in the NBA right now. There's a lot of average. You start looking around the league, man. I mean, there's some good teams. Boston's good. You know, Minnesota and OKC are the top of the way. I mean, Denver's always going to be in the mix. But boy, there are a lot of average teams. Phoenix looks miserable. The Lakers trying to get their act together. Golden State's average. You know, Milwaukee's been super disappointing, I think, on defense. They're terrible. I mean, the Bulls, the Nets, the Sixers are hot and cold. The Pacers look good, then they don't look good. I mean, do you believe in the Rockets? I don't know who to watch on a night-to-night basis on the NBA League Pass. I mean, watch the Grizzlies because I love them. But I just feel like, you know, they say vanilla is the most popular ice cream flavor in the world. You know, but it's also like the most bland, right? The NBA is a little vanilla right now. I don't know. Are we just guaranteed of a Denver-Boston Finals?
I don't know. And, you know, it's still a long season. I don't wish for injuries on anyone, but you just never know the trajectory of teams. Last year, we was talking down of the Lakers, and then they made it to the Western Conference Finals. So any given night, you don't know who's going to be able to go off. It's like Darvin Ham said, this is a marathon. You can't designate a team and have their true identity off a bad stretch of games, probably within like 10 games. Still at the early part, we're heading to the halfway part of the season. Trades are going to happen. And then we're really going to see what these teams are made of.
Well, it hurts a little bit that the top picks in the draft, as we talked about, I mean, Wembanyama's fun, but the Spurs are terrible. I love Scoot Henderson, but the Blazers are terrible. The Clippers are finally playing well. I don't know if I trust their health and their age. A good example of what I'm trying to say here, I like Trae Young and DeJounte Murray. I thought the Hawks were going to be kind of fun. They're super average, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe you're right. Maybe there's a trade to be made out there. I like the Heat on paper. But sometimes they leave me a little cold when I watch them. I'm not sure if they're in it for, you know, if they're going to make a deep push in the playoffs. I don't know if they can duplicate that again. So anyway, I just haven't enjoyed as many teams as I thought. The Kings, I feel like, are sort of like a little less than last year.
Yeah. You know, the Kings got expectations now. So
yeah,
a lot of these teams are really just basically a lot of the mid teams that you are sort of saying. They're missing one piece that really put them over the top, though. So that's why I say the trade with the trade rumors coming around and trade deadline coming soon, I think we could see some of these teams that are so-called mid can make a big push.
So those were my awards. Do you have any other awards today in the trophy case?
That's all I had. Get paid, Mr. Vince. Get paid.
That was great news today. Great news today. And congratulations to him and his family. And it's just, you know, like I said, these are human beings, right? It's not NBA 2K. And that's really wonderful news and good for him. Let's go to our hot takes, then we'll wrap the show. Okay, Xavier, go first.
Hot take is going to be focused on the Grizzlies. My hot take is that I believe the Grizzlies, at some point, they're going to really just tank the season. They have to weigh their pros and cons out, and I feel like the cons are going to outweigh the pros. We've already had established ourselves in the deep of a hole within those 25 games that Ja Morant is out. There is no reason for us to continue to try to climb this uphill battle, knowing even if we do make the play-in, we're still going to be fleeced out the first round, or even if we get so happily past this first round, we're most likely going to get put out the second round. Why not get a high draft pick? That's going to be a valuable asset. Trade that draft pick and restart again during the training camp of next year, 2024-2025. Get everyone healthy. I personally believe that our days with Steven Adams are gone. You know, he's reaching to the age of 31, coming off a knee injury. I don't think necessarily that's going to translate too well. Get you another big, like he was talking about, collect the data on the youth and try to figure out which ones you do want to keep and make a complete trade to really put us over the top going towards next year.
Xavier, I 100% agree. And it sort of is similar to my take here. And I just think the next few months, we're going to get absolute resolution on the current roster. We're going to find out which guys can play and which guys can't. And there has been a lot of discussion on some of these guys. People love Tillman, they don't. People love Zaire, they don't. People love Roddy, they don't, right? I mean, Luke Kennard, is he a long-term fit? I like him. You know, when he's stroking from three, it's pretty exciting. You're totally right on Steven Adams. I'm a little worried, honestly, about the Ja Morant medical situation because I don't love the medical staff of the Grizzlies sometimes and what we saw with Steven Adams. But you're absolutely correct. And again, there's an initial bump of excitement when something like this happens. And we'll see in February if we're talking about a contending team or a team that now needs to look forward to the next season. And my hot take is during this time, again, I do think the timing of Ja's injury might actually be good. If we end up 2 years from now, NBA champions, I think this pocket of time between now and the start of next season will have been the most important. This whole next gen, like, we're just destined. We've got this championship window. We've got all these players. Boy, you talk about adversity. The last, you know, 12 months or so with Brandon Clark and Adams and on the playoffs and DB leaving and now Ja's injury and all kinds of stuff. The next pocket of time is going to really determine whether we become a championship level team going into next season or we're just a team like the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, we got to establish some boundaries right now. Guys mature, knowing which of these younger guys and role players that we are feel like that's going to be surrounded our core three, core four. So it's some big months ahead of us. Analyze the data climbing, and then as well the coaching. I mean, as much as, you know, I feel like Taylor Jenkins sort of got saved this season due to the fact with the Ja Morant injury and him being out 25 games. But they, at the same time, though, how can he be able to still keep this team engaged and competitive? That still falls on coaching. So
that's a great point. And I would add one note to it, that John's going to have the shoulder surgery. And I think he really needs to work on his game before next year to really round out being an NBA all-timer. His outside shot's still a little rough. He's not a great defensive player. To say that he's a finished product and he, you know, he's the best guard in the league is just not true. And so let's hope that Ja uses these next 6, 7, 8 months, whatever it is, until the season starts next year, to reintegrate with the team after the surgery, but also to work on some of his individual skills, because he has such a special talent. He has an opportunity in front of him to be a Hall of Fame, to be a Hall of Fame player.
Yeah.
He's not there yet. We love him, but he's not a Hall of Fame player right now, because there are real holes to his game. And he has the rarest of opportunities in professional basketball to be a legend in a city, a legend in a community, and bring us a championship. And I just hope that during this time where he's not playing ball, that he keeps, you know, focused and works on those aspects of his game, gets strong and healthy, because we could have a very special team heading into next season, depending, like you said, with a draft pick, not, you know, maybe a trade, but we have some talent. I thought the game against Dallas last night, Xavier, showed great heart. It was exciting to watch. The team didn't roll over. And I want to see that spirit through the rest of the season. Wins, losses, I'm not as concerned with, but I want to see that spirit, because that's and the culture that carries forward. What do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Dave.
Great episode tonight. Where can everyone find you on social media?
Yeah, you can find me, of course, on Twitter at ZaytimeTakes, as well at YouTube at ZaytimeTakes. Find me on TikTok for a little bit of other basketball analysis at _XZAY.
Yeah, the videos are great. How do you decide which videos you're going to post? And is it just whatever you find interesting?
You know, with the Grizzlies content-wise, you know, I'm always doing a recap after the Grizzlies wins. And then as well, I try to spotlight most of the times the player of the Grizzlies who's been hot the latest. So that's with that. And then, of course, other team-wise, I'm looking across who's been performing at a high level, or I do a breakdown of X's and O's to showcase, you know, a lot of these players' skill set, just not just necessarily, oh, he dropped 30 points. No, like, how did he actually drop 30 points? What's going on in his head? How he has that high IQ and make those correct reads? So that's what I like to bring to my content.
Yeah, I like it. The nuance and you go in depth. I always enjoy those. We have an interesting weekend coming up with home games against the Clippers, the Knicks, and the Warriors. And the Knicks are red hot. The Clippers are red hot. And Golden State always gives us trouble. But you can find me at DLB19338. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at the Core 4, number 4 podcast, and send us questions or topics you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. We'll post this on Bluff City Media.
Stolen by Morant. Hammer, nail, coffin. This baby is over.